This is a Baby Brunch podcast. I need to know why you became a sleep therapist, not a sleep trainer. Chances are one of your kids weren't sleeping.
I was about to say, you heard I have three kids, right? So basically, having three children under the age of two really creates an incredibly dynamic background to start something like this in. Did I mention that my twins were born at the start of lockdown?
This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior gentle all-purpose emollient moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
We weren't interested in calling today's podcast sleep training because we've done that on babybrunch.co.za. I also think that if you're a mom and you are logging onto Baby Brunch for the first time, and you haven't experienced some of our podcasts or conversations around sleep training or caring for your baby, please click on it because I almost feel like we are heading to one step further with today's guest. I'm quite excited because today is not just about getting our babies to sleep, but it's about the difference between sleep training and sleep therapy. And then the other thing which I'm really excited about is my baby never left my bed. Welcome to your Parent and Baby Brunch, Venetia. How are you doing?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me, Alana. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Mother of three. First, tell me a little bit about you. How old's the youngest?
I have two youngest. So I actually have twins, and they are three. They're turning four now in April. And then I have an older one who's five and a half.
Wonderful. You didn't know you were having twins, right?
I didn't. I have twin brothers. However, it's not like enough history to think that it runs in my family. It was quite a surprise to fall pregnant 20 months after I had my first, or actually a year after I had my first. And then to find out it was twins was an exciting shock, to say the least.
I love your psychology background. And I need to know why you became a sleep therapist, not a sleep trainer. Chances are one of your kids weren't sleeping.
I was about to say, you heard I have three kids, right? So basically, having three children under the age of two really creates an incredibly dynamic background to start something like this in. Did I mention that my twins were born at the start of lockdown, level five, 8th of April? So we were really, as parents in that time, doing everything alone. And both my husband and I were fortunate enough to be at home during that time. But it meant that we had to get really smart with our babies, their routines, and making sure everyone was getting the correct attention that they needed. And I had already done quite a lot of this work with my firstborn because, bless her beautiful soul, she didn't like to sleep. The girl did not like to sleep. And I, as a new mum, just thought, like, you rock babies to sleep, right? Forever. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. I was picturing myself with a 21-year-old rocking her and putting her down. And I just thought, this is absolutely not going to work for me. I have a life and I love my children, but we both need to exist in this world together beautifully. And part of that is ensuring that they flourish, and part of that is good sleep. So I went down a deep rabbit hole and I found a nurse who coached me through the ins and outs of sleep training and what that meant, and I wasn't convinced by her answers. And I thought, no, there's got to be a better way to do this. So with my psychology background, I actually then went down another deep rabbit hole and found a whole bunch of online courses and landed up with the Australian Institute for Sleep. And there I really found like a holistic approach to sleep, which takes into account day and night, because a good night's sleep is made during the day with kids. We all know that. If they don't sleep in the day, they're not going to sleep at night. And necessity became our need and our want. And from there, I started to refine my skills with three babies, mostly on my own because my husband was, trying to provide for us. And I really got the hang of how to get multiple children to sleep in an age-appropriate way. And I made sure that it was the correct sleep coupled with the correct nutrition. And then really Judy's Bubba was born from there.
Doodoo's Bubba is the business, and they're helping so many children. Venetia is the owner and creator, and she has three children, twins and an older daughter, the inspiration to her
yes.
business. And I have to focus on the difference. So what is the difference between sleep therapy and sleep training?
So I think it's important to define sleep training and what we're trying to do here. And basically, that is a set of parental intervention techniques with the goal of getting the child to sleep well during the night. Where the difference comes in between therapy and training is how we achieve that goal. So the training has that all too infamous tie to the Ferber method or the cried out method or measured crying methods. And sleep therapy really focuses on the holistic approach to sleep. So we understand that we cannot make a hungry baby sleep. If we were leaving them in the cot to cry and they're starving, and here we are trying to make them fall asleep because, you know, that's what we've been told, we must leave them to cry. In my conscious, I could never put my child down if I didn't know at the time that they were hungry or they were lacking something in their day or diet. And then I was there almost forcing them to go to sleep without taking all of that into account. So sleep therapy really focuses on a 24-hour cycle of a child's day and ensuring that the parents have the greater understanding of the important role of nutrition, the importance of good day sleep and sleep hygiene, and the importance of the environment and how to get a baby to learn to sleep well on their own.
When you were out there trying to research sleep training, you know, everything online at the moment seems credible and correct. And even in our presence, you know, I work in media, so I know the influence that opinions can have on people and how it can convince you that we are right and you are wrong. How did you know that the one is method is not the way you want to go in your household? How did you know that therapy is the way that you want to go instead of training? I mean, what should moms listen out for or to create a preference that will really work for them without me saying that the one is good and the other one is bad?
I think that as a mom, you should listen to your gut. It is the single strongest influence you should have with regards to your child and with all things with your child. As a parent, you know exactly what is right and wrong for your child. The second thing is it right for you? Do you want to let your baby cry, or do you want to be up all night with your baby? If you want to be up all night with your baby rocking and it's not a problem for you, then it's not a problem. If it becomes a problem and it's something that you now need to change, you need to have a look at that and understand that is now where you need to go. So in terms of looking online, I think it's all about what sits right with you. I think that anything that forces your child to cry and be alone and to break that kind of positive parental connection, that's something I drill into my parents to say, we want to positively reinforce that the boundaries we're holding for them are good and not bad. And by keeping the long-term effects in mind, we want them to feel secure and safe in an environment. What is the best way we can do that? And most of the time, and actually because my children are now older, my oldest is turning 6 this year, I really can see the benefit of having this kind of trust relationship with my child. So I trust that she is able to do something and she trusts me to show her how to do that. And that's essentially the relationship we're working on. And taking that into account for sleep is such a kind and beautiful way to get your baby to trust you and for you to trust your baby that it's going to be okay and that you are going to make it through this next phase and that sleeping is good. You don't want them to be fearful at all. And leaving them to cry can sometimes maybe, you know, give them a negative association with such a necessary biological function.
So I'm a working mom and I travel and I often talk about it. Yeah. Not to tell people how guilty we are or, you know, but I, in the morning when I send my kids to school, I miss them. I miss my children when they're not around. I didn't sleep train. In fact, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because I want moms to feel like we're not just thinking for the moment, like you saying, trust is built and earned, right? I never sleep trained my children. I remember having a consult at the house And we were in Cape Town, where you are broadcasting from right now. And we saw someone, and I, at the time, listened to my gut, because this particular sleep trainer was not for me. And when she left, I felt relieved. And my husband was like, what's up with you? You know? And I said to him, I'm so glad this woman left. Because I couldn't think of my, I used to call my small baby Essie Bessie, you know, she's my eldest. And I said to him, I couldn't imagine Essie Bessie falling asleep with that lady, you know, so I judged her hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, she left. But now that I think about it, right, like years on, my kids and I, we have a very, we've got such a cool relationship, man. I adore them. And a part of me now feels that I can have guilt about a lot of things, but I'm glad I don't have guilt about leaving my kids alone to cry or you know, when they go off to school and I really miss them. Like, I just saw a message come through now that they're at home and they really want to wait for me to do homework. I love doing homework with my kids.
I also love homework.
So
yeah, me too. I love homework.
I learn a lot because I've forgotten half. eight years down the line with my eldest and in with all of my children, my third baby, I'm glad I didn't sleep train, because it's just one of the things that would have made me feel I wasn't there for my children, you know, now that I'm back at work and in the drill, in the heat of things, in the juggle. So Venetia, tell me about it. I mean, I struggled with naming this podcast. We were gonna name the sleep training versus therapy, and then I thought, why don't we ask you, because you do have an older baby and you do work in the field with older children too. Statistically, if you could think of a percentage, how many parents come to you and your practice, Dudu's Baba, how many of them come and have older children who don't want to leave the bed, or children that had sleep therapy of some kind of sleep assistance, and who left their mom and dad's bed, they were managing to sleep on their own, and now they have decided, as an older child, it's not their thing anymore, and they're back in bed with mom and dad, or mom and mom, or dad and dad, but they are back in their parents' bed.
You know, it's such a great question, because I work with tiny babies, 4 months and up, and I work with older children. And I actually, my oldest child to date is seven or eight. She's around eight now. And that's basically what happened. Baby was sleeping beautifully through the night, and then something happened. No one can almost pinpoint it, but often what happens is it will be a night terror or a change of scenery or a big lightning clap. If, you know, Western Cape, we don't really get thunderstorms, then it could be something like that that has made them nervous. And because they have no trust in the fact that they are safe in that space, they run back to where they do feel safe. And where is that? With their mom and dad, or dad and dad, or mom and mom, with their parent. So I have, statistically, I would say I'm either working with a younger sibling at the moment, and the older one is still in bed, and they say, no, but don't worry about them, you know, we're so used to it by now. And I say, no, we can actually do both. And I would statistically say about 25 to 30% are babies where, as I said, the parent was fine with it and they're no longer fine with it. So that is why they've come to me. They've made this choice now that they would like to assist their baby. So I would say, you know, creating that trust is never too late. You can always mold a relationship with your child. I think you can do it when they're adults too. And it's never too late to learn how to engage your baby in such a way that they learn to trust you. And I think that is pretty much the positive parental connection that we're looking for can happen at any stage. So, yeah, Ilana, there are a lot of babies that are out, go back in, leave again, come back. And like I said, obviously, it's totally fine. It's more about understanding what your family needs and understanding what serves you. You know, that working mom, I also used to travel with Grace specifically, and I just wanted to be sure that even when I wasn't there, that they felt safe and secure in their own space that we had worked so hard to create for them. These beautiful bedrooms that you set up, you know, parents,
the beautiful Instagram cups, and Pinterest,
all
yeah.
the things, Instagram, Pinterest, worthy room. And actually, it's just about the feeling that you leave them with. It's you. You are the one. So yeah, that's where it really came from.
So older child needs to now get out of our bed into their own. So let's pick an age between 4 and 6 years old.
Okay.
We often allow and say, well, I hope we do, that we stop breastfeeding when, you know, baby and mom is ready. One of my friends has a four-year-old and they still breastfeed and I'm really fine with
Incredible.
It. Yeah, like...
Me too. Yeah. I'm so happy for them. Well and done to that mom.
So why if we breastfeed at age 4, can our 4-year-old not share our bed? Is it... Do we name it and say it's some kind of digression or does it really matter? I mean, what would you say as someone who understands the therapy of sleep for both children and mom and dad? You know, a part of me almost feels like we're making a fuss about something that, I don't know, maybe it does change naturally. I don't know. I'm asking.
I think that there's such an interesting movement at the moment. My brother and I always joke about these diets where you hear like a whole food diet. And yes. I was like, do you mean like food in its natural state from the ground to our table? Like, is that not just food? And I said the same thing about this gentle parenting approach. Like, why are we living in this world where obedience and shouting and discipline is the norm? And the approach of gentle parenting, like actually treating your child with respect and with kindness and love and like a human, is like this, it's like the whole food diet of the parenting world. And it blows my mind that someone who's managed to for 4 years sustain someone's life off of their body, which they are meant to be doing, is now saying, it's so wrong. Baby's in your bed. Baby's 4 years old. It's never going to come out of your bed. You're still breastfeeding. What do you think you're doing? It's a boy. Like, it's not allowed. That there's so many things that come into play. And you just think, gosh, she's just done the best thing that she could do. She's made such a secure attachment for that child. You are their first point of call in terms of relations and relationships going forward. So for the rest of his life, he's going to show up and expect people to show up for him in the way that his parents have. And it's secure and it's loving and it's kind and it's forgiving and it's trusting and it's all the things you want in a healthy marriage or friendship to have around you. So why on earth would we be leaving children to cry in their bedroom so they learn to expect that, you know, I've got to just suck it up and get involved. And there is a statistic on this. There is a statistic where almost over 90% of children will rather suck it up and keep quiet so that they can regain their contact with you. If you're saying like, shh, I need, you know, go and cry out in your room. I can't stand listening to you cry anymore. They will go and be dead quiet and internalize that feeling instead of modeling. And I know it's hard. Believe me, I have 3 children over the 20 months. I am calming people down left, right, and center. If I'm not on the phone to you or working with other people's children, I literally sit with 3 human beings sitting on me, regulating them, because it is so important that we show children that it's okay to have these feelings. And if you're nervous in bed, it's okay to be picked up and held. I'm not saying that you need to, you know, hold your child all night like I did think I was going to do with Grace at one point. But it's okay to offer them comfort in that moment and trust that you've had this relationship to know that they'll go back to bed and that they will go back to bed, because they will. So I think it's all about having a conversation. If you've got a 4 to 6-year-old, you've got to look at their development. Where are they? You've got to think age appropriately. So you use language that will really benefit their understanding. So you're not going to talk about, you know, a biological function to sleep. You're going to say, our little bodies are really energetic during the day at school and you need lots and lots of brain power to fall asleep and to learn at school, and you're probably learning to read and write now if you're 6, And in order to do that, we have to rest our bodies. And how do we rest our bodies well? In our bed and safe in mommy and daddy's house. And mommy and daddy put you to bed nicely. And then when you're ready, we're going to wake up in the morning and we're going to eat all this food that's going to give our body lots of energy. And then we're going to go forward from there. So if they wake up, you say, oh, wow, you look really upset. Acknowledge they're upset. Shame, my darling. Can I give you some love? Tell me what happened. If they don't want to tell you or they're a bit dazed, that's okay. So it's all right. It's okay to feel these things. And you help them gently settle back. And with that trust that I was explaining earlier, the baby will learn to trust that it's okay because you said it, it's okay. So it's a holistic approach. It really is about the time you put in the day is the time that you're going to get out at night. And if your baby falls asleep full and happy and regulated, they're going to 90% chance, 99% chance sleep through a hell of a lot better than they would if they were dysregulated, starving, cold, and insecure.
It's interesting because we have had a few recordings over the past 2 weeks. And with all of our experts here on Baby Brunch, whether it be bullying, breastfeeding, fertility, raising resilient children, and now sleep therapy instead of sleep training, or both, you know, who knows, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
All of absolutely. It comes down to communication, respect, like trust. You were joking now about gentle parenting, trust, you're right. And a kindness, it's almost like there was one value that we forgot to include into parenting. And now that we're putting it back, everything can be better and everything will fall into place. I mean, you have got no idea what I recorded with all those other experts, and the messaging is the same. But I have to say, Venetia, I have an indication that the work is actually us. Our kids are fine. Yes. We are the solution.
Alana, do you know that 100% of my consults are with the parents for a reason? 9 times out of 10, it's you who needs to put the baby down. The baby's fine. It's you who needs to be held and loved. And so much of what I do, the first 10 to 15 minutes is actually of the parents just having a release with me.
We're the problem.
They just need to get it out. We're the problem, Alana. We are the problem. And sometimes we are so under this massive pressure of like, cry it out, don't cry it out, breastfeed, don't breastfeed, formula feed. There's so much going on that when someone goes, did you rock your baby? That's okay. Are you okay? Are you fine? And someone goes, no one ever asks me if I'm okay. And then they just kind of well up and bleh, it all comes out. And from there, we start the work from after those first 10 minutes. And trying to regulate a business like this is so funny because my husband is an engineer, so he's quite a tight ship, you know? And I've got all the emotion and the feelings. And if you need an hour and a half, then that's what we take because sometimes, you know, we're people dealing with people and the moms, you know, moms really need support. And I think having a community around you or someone that just listens to you is really,
so important.
Really important. Yeah.
I don't want to run out of time on this podcast. And so I want you to answer with one line answers if you can. Which is just actually so unfair. But Dudu's Barber, you have to go and follow them on Instagram, Dudu's_Barber. Okay, cool. With sleep therapy, so the therapy that you practice in relation to the different other methods of sleep training, can one manage to do this and tackle the issue with sleep with multiples? So twins, triplets, and more.
Yes, because I work with twins, I have twins, I've done it. Everything that is in this course is my own knowledge and my own study. So yes, I can do, I've even done triplets.
If we want to follow a therapy, we're at home and parents want to start self-work immediately after this podcast with their children. Give me 3 things that we can practically do to just feel like we are starting before we phone you up for a consult.
Immediately, I would start co-regulating your child. Stop sending them away to deal with their feelings on their own. It's not working. Any child under the age of 4 cannot, they actually don't have any impulse control. So getting angry at them for doing something that you see as wrong you might have told them 15 minutes before, but they don't remember in that moment. So just be present, co-regulate, and I would say engage with your child and talk to them so that they know what's coming in their day, so they learn that you've got this. They just want to know that somebody's got this, because they don't got nothing. They've got nothing, those kids. So they just want to be in a position where they trust you and they know that you're in control. They like boundaries. So that's what I would suggest straight away.
For people who want to chat to you, how can we get hold of you?
So I always say, if you go onto dudusbaba.com, because I do work with international clients as well, there are links there that essentially will either book you straight into a consult. It's all done online. It's really simple. You will immediately get a pre-care questionnaire, I like to call it, where before you even come to me, you can tell me all your things that you need to tell me, so that when I speak to you, I've got a background picture, pretty much like this interview. We've got to figure each other out, and I need to know that when, for the hour that you're paying me for, if I sneak in an extra half an hour, don't tell my husband, then it's solution driven. I think that what I found with a bit of my research during my sort of children's time is that you'd pay these exorbitant fees and it would just be like having a conversation, but there'd be no solution or follow up. And I just felt like that was lacking. It's not a one size fits all. Every child has a different sensory need and profile and a different day. And they might be the third child or the first child, or they might be, you know, the only child, or they might be a multiple or a triplet. So the conversation is really specific to you. And so it's dudusbaba.com. From there, you get a direct line to me. And otherwise, it's on Instagram. I share a lot of my sleep tips. It's a lot of videos. You'll recognize this background. You'll get to know it very well. So it's really about bringing this information across to you in a really like short, concise. You're tired. I know you don't need a lot of information. So short, concise bursts. And if you like what you hear, then you can click on the links.
As moms and dads, we are tired ourselves. We've had enough. We've had enough manuals and books and people telling us what to do and advice. Oh, my word. Please give us one nugget of how we can take care of ourselves and feel worthy.
I think the most important thing to do to look after yourself is find something for you that you can really count on to fill up your cup. So for me, I'm a runner. I really like to go for a run. I live in a beautiful part of the Western Cape, and here I live right out this window is a big set of mountains. And when I'm just needing to run out all the things that I need to run out, I listen to nothing. I like quiet, and so find something that fills your cup. If it's dancing, if it's music, if it's seeing your friends or drinking wine. I also like to drink wine. That's a good one. But yeah, find something that fills your cup, so that you know that your needs are taken care of first. You will probably find that if you are feeling fulfilled and full, we all know we can't pour from an empty cup. So if there's any, and it doesn't have to be hours and it doesn't have to be every day, but have something to look forward to all the time outside of your parenting career. It's really, really important.
We can't wait to follow you online, Dudu's Baba. Dudu's Baba on Instagram. It's Dudu's_Baba. Venetia, thank you so much for joining us on Baby Brunch. You're a star. Ilana,
thank you for having me, and thank you for all the work you're doing. I've told all 55 moms that I look after at the moment about you, and I just can't, they keep coming and telling me about what they hear on your show, and it's just so important. Thank you so, so much.
We're here for you guys. Really, we are. Thank you for your time.
We really are. Thank you so much. Thanks, Ilana. Thanks so much for having me.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.